So, 18 years ago, I'm going to tell you his whole life story. No, I'm not. But 18 years ago, Malachi Teshuvah came into our lives. His name is My Messenger of Repentance. He didn't even know it at the time, but in coming into our lives, his name was prophetic in my life because God brought repentance into my heart and into my life that year, 1998. Changed my whole life, changed our relationship, and brought us this incredible young man he has become. It's been a blessing watching him grow, watching him mature, not just physically, but especially in his relationship with the Lord, his relationship with everyone. And you know that they are only yours for a certain amount of time. They really belong to the Lord. And all of them belong to the Lord. With Malachi, it was clear from the very beginning that he belonged to the Lord. Just as with Tirzah, there's kind of that, you know, he's the Lord's. But we got the privilege of raising him, teaching him, being taught by him sometimes. what an awesome responsibility, but also privilege it has been. I want you to say what you're going to be doing, what your major is, and just a few things that maybe God has put on your heart, and then we'll pray over you.
So I'm going to Maine, a little town called Charleston. It's like, I don't know, 1/20th the size of this town. It's really small. It's like 1,400 people. So it's Faith Bible College International, which is, I think it's kind of Pentecostal or something.
Assembly of God.
But it has, it's what I want and everything. And so what I'm going to be going there to get is a bachelor's in theology and a minor in music and worship. So I've never been to college before, obviously, but I've never really been in a classroom environment really either. Like the ACT was my first time ever taking like a test, really.
He was homeschooled.
Yeah, so I'm homeschooled. This is might be a little hard for me adjusting at first, so please pray for that. What I'm looking to get out of this is I kind of want to go into the worship ministry, and this is kind of more recent for me because for like all my life, I've wanted to join the IDF. I wanted to go fight and be a warrior and stuff, but it recently the Lord was really putting on my heart that I don't have to be a soldier to be a warrior and that I can fight in other ways. And so this is what the Lord has pressed upon my heart, the way I'm supposed to fight through worship. And so I'm going to go and learn how to worship and learn about the Lord. So please pray for me, and I'll be praying for you guys. You guys are like my family, so.
Speaking of family, I'd like them to come forward, and the elders as well, please. Of course, you know, you're not allowed to say anything.
Okay, so I don't know how many of you know this, but when I was pregnant with Malachi, they told me he had Down syndrome and I needed to abort him. As you can see, he's perfectly fine. But that happens to a lot of people in our nation where they're told something's wrong with their baby and it turns out there's nothing wrong. So he's kind of been a miracle forever.
We were going to have him anyway.
Yeah, we were going to have him anyway.
It doesn't matter.
It turned out that they based all of that on measurements because he was looking at the light while they were doing the ultrasound. His face was turned towards the light. And so it threw off all the measurements in his neck and everything because he was focused on the light. When he was two, every day he would ask me, "Mommy, can I go to college? Uncle college? Mommy, can I go to college?" Just like that. College? And he was obsessed with going to college. And I was like, "What, you're already trying to leave me? You're 2 years old." Turns out he watched the Goofy movie too many times and thought college meant the X Games. So BMX and skateboarding. So now he's really going to college. But, before he was even born, there's just been a battle on his life. So pray for him because God has special things for him. Each one of the kids, God has special things for each one of the kids. Just, we get to focus on you right now.
Just as Malachi was saying, we do kind of feel like we are sending him not to battle yet, but to preparation for that battle. Yeah, to boot camp, basically, to be trained to fight. And so it is kind of like sending him off, to war in a way. But it's a spiritual battle. And we're told in Scripture that's what it is. It's a spiritual battle that we are in. And many times we don't recognize that, there has also been a vision early on that the Lord gave me at one point of both my sons, with me. Both my sons with me, leading worship on the mountains of Israel and doing battle. And seeing people come to know the Lord, and I don't know what else I said, but that's fine. It doesn't matter, because God fulfills those visions that He puts on our hearts. And watching Him grow and watching God work in His life, it's so awesome to see those visions that are being fulfilled, not just my own, but others as well. So, all right, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for Malachi, for Malachi. Lord, he is learning to be your messenger. And the Lord, just as his middle name is Teshuvah, repentance, Lord, that he will be truly a messenger of repentance, that he will go in humility, that he will go in the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for him. Lord, he belongs to you, and we recognize that. And right now, Lord, we just ask that you will anoint him and prepare him for everything that he is to learn. Give him ears to hear, a mind to learn and grow and gain the knowledge that you want to give him, Lord. Help him to test every spirit, that it is of you and not just go along with things just because it is said. But, Lord, that he will look at your word and he will listen to your Holy Spirit and be guided by you and you alone, Lord. Even as he learns from professors and he learns from others, and Lord, there's a lot to learn, we ask that you will empower him and give him strength and give him wisdom. And Lord, protect him. Protect him from the attacks of the enemy, both physical and spiritual, emotional, mental, all of it, Lord, that your angels will be around him. Lord, we will be lifting him up in prayer. We thank you for that we get this privilege as a congregation to send him out, Lord. And we look forward to what you are going to do in and through him by the power of your Holy Spirit. We give you all the glory, Lord. It's not our glory, it's your glory, Lord. Help us to just be obedient, continue to be obedient in praying, in seeking your face, and help Malachi, Lord, to continue to humble himself before you and let you do the work that you want to do in and through him. We just pray this in Yeshua's name.
Father, we lift Malachi up to you. We ask you to bless him, to watch over him, to give him your wisdom, Lord. And we are so grateful and thankful for the man of God that you have grown him up to be. Order his steps. Guide and direct him, Lord. Bless him immensely out there. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful gift that you have given us all.
Lord, I thank you for Malachi. And Lord, I know he's already had the best teachers that he'll ever get. The rest will just be refining him. And I thank you for those. I thank you for the parents that you gave him to head him in the right direction. And I pray that he will continue in your direction, Lord. And there will be so many people blessed by him that we can't count them. And I thank you for all you're doing in his life. And I ask for that protection to go with him throughout his whole life too, Lord. And I pray this in your Son and our Savior, Yeshua.
Father, we thank thee for Malachi and ask you to touch him and keep him healthy. Keep him alert, Lord, in classes, and that, you know, he can be disciplined as he needs to be, Lord, to learn what he needs to, Father. Protect him from the snares of the enemy, Lord, all the tricks that the devil will play on a young man away from home, you know, and just protect him. Give him wisdom, Lord, in his daily walk with you, Father. Just protect him from all harm, all evil, Lord, and just give him the joy of learning from you, Lord, and just be with him in Yeshua's name.
God, we thank you for giving us Malachi. We love him, and we're going to miss him. But you know, we take solace in the fact that you love him more than we do. It doesn't seem possible, but it's true. You love him more than we do, and he's doing your will. So you're going to protect him, and we know that. We ask that you put the knowledge in his mind that he's seeking and help keep him away from danger, guide him down the path that you want him to go, and bring him back to a safe, Lord, and full of energy and vision and knowledge. In your name we pray.
Okay, unless something is really put on your heart, we will all have an opportunity to see him and pray over him if you'd like later. And we love you, man. And we'll miss you greatly. The whole congregation, everybody will miss you. So, Tully's definitely going to miss you. So, all right.
Pray for Tully. She's the littlest. Her people keep leaving.
Children are a blessing from the Lord. So the blessing over the children. This is really in Hebrew. I'll do the English. For the boys, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. And for the girls, may God make you like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah.
Yesam kai Elohim, ki Ephraim veki Manasseh. Yesam ek Elohim, ki Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, ve Leah.
Yerunai panav
Yevarecha
Adonai Vayishmarecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord
lift up his countenance
upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.
Amen. Good job. It was very last minute. I just threw him up there, so, you know. Give the children a hand. Yay, children. Children are a blessing from the Lord. We are starting, I'm excited about it, actually. We're starting the book of Ezekiel. And this, I don't have a lot of time, but that's good because this is a short message. Start your timers. Nobody believes me. Why doesn't nobody believe me? I don't understand this. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we are so grateful and thankful to you. You are worthy of all praise and all glory. We thank you for your word. We ask that you will give us understanding of your word this morning by your Ruach HaKodesh. And Lord, that it may go deep into our hearts, that we will learn, that we will give us a passion, Lord, to study your word. You have given us your word. Lord, help us not to take it for granted, but help us to love it and be passionate about learning and growing in our knowledge of you. We pray all this in Yeshua's name. Amen. This is going to take a while. It may even come close to Isaiah, just to let you guys know. So don't expect to zoom through Ezekiel. I'm not sure that that's even possible, even if you tried. But there's going to be a lot of research, a lot of things that will tie into many different places of Scripture. Ezekiel is tied in with Daniel and Revelation and Isaiah and Jeremiah and all sorts of parts of, you know, the New Testament as well. There's just so much wealth of understanding of treasures that God has put in this book. I mean, for one thing, I don't think there is a book in the Bible that has a description of God's presence like Ezekiel does. A description of, you know, actually seeing the angels and describing the angels and that are right there in the very throne room of God. All of the other books of the Bible are somewhat vague on that. Ezekiel is very descriptive, so descriptive that it has led to all sorts of weird ideas and stuff. You can go online and find out all sorts of weird things. People who don't even believe in God like to study Ezekiel because they think it's UFOs. You know, I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of in my life. However, if you're one of those, sorry if I stepped on your toes. I'm glad I stepped on your toes because it's not UFOs. It's not unidentified. It says what it is. It's the presence of the Lord, and it's the angels that are in his presence. So UFO is unidentified flying object. Yeah, thank you. Anyways, Ezekiel 1:1 gives us a time frame. It says, in the 13th year, on the fifth day of the fourth month, while I was among the exiles by the Kivar River, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Wow. Just that statement right there. The heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. This, what excites me about this is many times we believe we have to go to a certain place to see God. You know, there's an idea, you know, I hear it all the time. Every time Heather and I are going to go to Israel, oh, that's so wonderful. Oh, you're going to feel God's presence over there more than you feel him everywhere else. No, the Lord is everywhere. The Lord is everywhere. Yes, is that his city? Is that the place where he chooses to dwell, where he's going to dwell? Yes. But it doesn't mean that just that you can't experience a vision from God right here in paradise. No pun intended. Or in Chico, or in Megalia.
or in Sterling City even, or Orville. The Lord shows up where he wants to. This is by the River Kavar. This is not a special place. It became special because God showed up, but this was a place in exile. Do you realize that you and I, we're in exile right now? We're not in that place that God finally has for us. What do I mean by exile? Well, I physically, physical point of view, I kind of feel like I'm in exile because I'm not living in Israel. As a Jew, I would like to be living in Israel. But even when I go to Israel, I'll still be in exile. Why? Because I won't be in that final place that God has of rest and of peace for us. And I'm not just talking when you die and go to heaven. I'm talking in that new glorified body where everything is the way God intends for us. See, because when we go to heaven, if God forbid, if we were to die tomorrow and go to be with him, we'd like that too, right? But on some level, we wouldn't. Maybe your loved ones certainly wouldn't. But if you were, you would be in his presence, but not fully the way we're going to be when we have that new glorified body. There's going to be something different. Otherwise, the dead in Christ, the dead in Messiah, wouldn't have to be raised. But Paul says they will be. There will be a resurrection. The dead in Messiah will be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's something special about that. That, at that point, we will no longer be in exile. But right now, we are strangers. We are aliens, it says, in this world. We never feel completely comfortable. So from that perspective, you and I can totally identify with Ezekiel because we are also in exile. Those of us who are Jewish, who desire to live in Israel, can experience, we feel that even more. But you may feel that. You may have a place that you really felt was home, and you're away from that. And you feel like you're in exile. But from a spiritual standpoint, we are, because we are not yet home. We are not yet home. You could say we're traveling through the desert. That's another way to look at it, like the children of Israel when they were learning and growing before they came into the promised land. But remember, once they got into the promised land, were they in heaven? No. They had to fight every inch. They had to trust God and receive that land. And so there's something else. There's a rest that God has prepared for us, for the people of God. Until we come to that place, we will be able to understand exile. And maybe that's part of the issue. Maybe you're looking for a place of peace and rest here that you're not going to find without the Lord. See, because if we're searching here for peace, even if you know the Lord, but you're saying, well, if I could just do this, or if God just moves me here, if he just does this. No, what does it say we need to do? Wait on the Lord. Doesn't matter where you're at, wait on the Lord. Ezekiel, he had no control over where he was, just like we don't really. We think we do many times, and maybe we can make decisions and things will happen. But we really have no control. There are other greater forces that have control. But the greatest force that have control that we can submit to is the Lord. And the Lord can change all of the other things. So if we understand that we don't really have control over our lives, he has control over our lives, then we can relax. We can submit to him. So here you have a priestly prophet in exile. Why do I say that? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But it was on the fifth day of the fourth month. Interestingly enough, the month of Av, which we have just started. In fact, when I started studying, was the day after Ezekiel had received this vision, when I started to study this book as I looked at it. Because the fourth of Av would be last Tuesday. That's the fourth of Av right now. So we're starting Ezekiel at a very good time. We're starting Ezekiel at the time when he received this vision. The fifth day of the fourth month, and that was not planned, by the way, by me. the fifth day of the fourth month, or the month of Av, the 13th year. This is counting from the beginning of the reign of Nabopolassar, Ploassar, I don't know, I can't say it. You know, I can't do Greek, I certainly can't do Sumerian, you know, or Babylonian. Nebuchadnezzar, we all know that one, right? Okay, so he was the father of Nebuchadnezzar. So this gives you some time frame. Ezekiel was before Daniel, not just in your Bibles, but also in this time frame. And what was interesting is that Ezekiel was about the same age. He was 13. Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? Because usually when you think of Ezekiel, think of this old guy with a beard. Well, unless he was well-advanced 13-year-old, you know, I've seen some that have beards. But he probably didn't have a beard, but he was bar mitzvah. He had started his ministry. And basically, this is the beginning of that priestly ministry. Because at age 13, if you were a Kohen, you could begin to serve. You could begin to serve. And so he was starting, and they believe that one of the reasons why it says the 13th year, it's not just talking about the 13th year of that guy's reign, Nabopolassar, whatever, but also the 13th year of Ezekiel's life. He was 13 years old. You don't have to be old for God to work in your life. You can be. In fact, sometimes God waits till you're 80, like he did with Moses. So, you know what? God does what he wants with who he wants. I think there's something to be said, though, that Ezekiel was young because it was his fathers and his forefathers that had sinned against the Lord. His fathers and his grandparents. They would have been the ones, and his great-grandparents, who had sinned against the Lord that had caused this exile. Think about that. So he was the next generation, and this was a generation that was different. This was a generation born in exile and seeking God. They were seeking for an identity, for one thing. This was a very hard time, a very confusing time for the people of Israel and the people of Judah. And so you have this sense that Ezekiel was seeking the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He understood that he was a priest, but he was a priest who couldn't serve in the temple because he was in exile. So he was a priest basically with nothing to do. I mean, he had stuff to do as far as I'm sure they made him work. You know, in exile, it's not fun to be in exile. You're at the whim of the people who you are under exile with, under the Babylonians. But think about it for a second. Here is a priest who can't serve in the temple. He can't do any of the things that he was trained to do. And so he is in exile, seeking. I don't know about you, but there's something about exile. There's something about being in the wilderness. There's something about not being at home that causes you to seek more. At least it should. It causes us to seek the Lord even more. And the Lord had something really special for Ezekiel. Because even though he couldn't go and serve as a priest, God was going to show him a temple that just blew every other temple out of the water. A temple that he has prepared. I believe we will see one of these days. We will see the temple that God revealed to Ezekiel. You know, some have tried to fit it into, you know, either the next temple, you know, Herod's temple or whatever. They've tried to say, well, that's what temple this is. But I believe when we get to that part where it describes the temple, it's clear that there has never been a temple built on this scale. There will be, though. I don't believe it was just all spiritual. Some believe that the whole book of Ezekiel is spiritual. No. It's very clear that there's parts of Ezekiel that are literal. Do they have spiritual impact? Of course. But they are also literal. God is bringing, and Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, describes a time that we are all looking forward to. Now, we won't get into that right away, but we will eventually. And that's called the millennial kingdom. What is the millennial kingdom? It's a thousand-year reign of Yeshua on the throne of David from Jerusalem. It's the messianic age, the messianic, not just age, kingdom, because it's going to go for 1,000 years. So just imagine that for real quick. But this is what this priest, Ezekiel, he gets so much better than the priests that go in and out of the temple in Jerusalem, God even, because he gets a vision from the Lord that just blows all of that out of the water. A priestly prophet in exile. While I was among the exiles, so it's clear that he is among the exiles, that word, golah, exile, carried away, captive, basically being removed from your place of home. By the kavar, or the chabar, as it's written in on the internet, you'll find, by the kavar river. And that river just means length. It means it's a long river. Whoever came up with the name goes, wow, this is a long river. We'll call it Kavar. It's a river in Mesopotamia. I'm not sure. It may still be around today, but it might have been dammed off today or blocked off or whatever. So the heavens were opened, and I saw a vision of God. The word there for a vision is a mirror or a looking glass. It's Mara. A looking glass, a mirror, or a vision of God. Like he was able to see God. I don't comprehend that, but God made that possible for Ezekiel. Here's a picture of the area. Here's the Kabar River right there. So it was somewhere along this river. Somewhere along this river near Babylon, probably over in this area here, that Ezekiel was hanging out when he received this vision from God. On the fifth day of the month, which was during the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's exile. Okay, so Jehoiachin, or Jehoiachin, as you see in his captivity. In the third or fourth year of Jehoiakim, father of Jehoiachin, they look the same to me, pretty much, the first carrying away of the Jewish captives to Babylon took place. Okay, so this was the first carrying away. Among them was Daniel. The second was under Jehoiachin when Ezekiel was carried away. The third and final one was at the taking of Jerusalem under Zedekiah. So we have three different times where they're taken away. Now, Daniel was actually taken away first, but that doesn't mean his book was written right away. If you notice, Daniel actually was, part of his book talks about when he was younger, but part of it is obviously written when he is older. It's written during the time of the Persians. This event here, they believe that Ezekiel actually wrote during the time of, at least he started writing during the time that he was in captivity under Babylon, under the Babylonians. And then he goes on to say, the word of Adonai came to, it goes on to say here, the word of Adonai came to the Kohen, that's another word for priest, Ezekiel, son of Buzi. Imagine having a name like Buzi. In the land of Kasdim, by the Kavar River. There the hand of Adonai was on him. This is very interesting because I don't know much about Ezekiel's father. Obviously, he would have had to be a priest as well, a Kohen as well. I believe he probably raised his son as well as he could, but it was during a time of great trouble for Israel and for Judah. And so if we look at this says, the word of Adonai came to Ezekiel. The word of Adonai, these are not Ezekiel's words or ideas. Right up front, Ezekiel is telling us, everything I'm writing are not my ideas. These come from the Lord. They are from the Lord. And so it's important that we understand as we read through this, this is not, unless Ezekiel says, this is my opinion about that, that everything he is writing was inspired by the word of God. It was inspired by the Lord. So anyway, so the word of the Lord came, or it, that means to exist, be or become, come to pass, came directly. There, that's another way to look at it. The word of the Lord came directly from the Lord to Ezekiel. There was no in-between. It came directly from the Lord. That's the implication in this and what's being said here. Ezekiel's name means God will strengthen. It's related to Hazak that we say at the end of a book of the Torah. Hazak, Hazak, let us be strengthened. And so his name is, God is, well, it says here, God will strengthen. And I find once again that that's, you know, really awesome, because here they are in a place of weakness. They're in a place of exile. Israel and Judah has lost their power. They've lost their control over their own country. And yet his name, which his parents probably gave him, Buzi probably gave him, was God will strengthen. So God had done something in Buzi's life, because his name means contempt. Very interesting. Now, he didn't name himself, but it could give you some idea of maybe how his parents felt when he was born. And so it's coming out of a time of brokenness, a time of hardship. Here you have a priest named Contempt, who names his son God will strengthen. God will strengthen. So God must have been doing a work in Ezekiel's father's life to get him to a place where he would understand that God will rebuild, God will strengthen. We're not going to be in exile forever. There is coming a time where God will return us back to our own land. There's coming a time of hope. So Ezekiel is actually a book, you will see. Yes, it is a book that talks about God's wrath and his judgment, but it is also a book that talks about God's mercy and the future hope that Israel has, which is good. We are still looking to that hope, actually. We've seen some of it with the coming of Yeshua. We've seen Israel returned, the Jewish people returned to their land, but not fully yet. But we are still looking forward to the prophecies that are going to, that we're going to be studying here in Ezekiel. So, and they're in the land of Kasdim, which is another word for Chaldea, the Chaldeans. So let's talk a little bit about Ezekiel's calling. It says, the Lord's hand, or Adonai's hand, was on Ezekiel. And that word for hand is yad. It's actually, we have a yad that we use when we're pointing at the words in the Torah. It's a little metal thing over there with a little hand on the end. And, you know, that's out of respect so that you don't have my greasy fingers touching the words in the Torah, you know. But it's also out of respect for God's word. Well, it says God's hand was on Ezekiel. And I know we use this terminology a lot today. We use the terminology, the hand of the Lord. I think many times it's used loosely. This is not a loose translation here. This is not loosely. God's hand was on Ezekiel. Okay, what does that mean? Well, his hand, it means his power, his the means to do what he needed to do, the means to fulfill the purpose of God. Direction, leading, protection, and also control. When you have God's hand on you, it represents all of those things. And there's one that wasn't in here, but also love. God had a passion and a love for this young priest who was seeking him in this place of exile. Instead of out there going, oh, woe is me, oh, I'm in exile, oh, everything's horrible. He was seeking the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What do we do when things are going wrong in our life? Do we get worried and anxious and upset, angry at God, angry at others? Or do we seek God? Do we trust him? Do we seek him that he has a plan? Do we wait on him? That's what it means to wait on the Lord. And here you have this young priest out there waiting on the Lord, and God gives him the most incredible prophecy. I mean, when you look at Ezekiel, as we get further into it, some of the things that he sees no one except Yeshua himself has seen since. That's pretty incredible. No one but Yeshua, who is in the presence of God, the Father, who is God, has seen some of the things that God revealed to Ezekiel, at least that we know of, that we know of. The description that he gives of God and of his presence, not of God himself, because no one has seen God the Father at any time, but the Son, he has revealed him. So we know from some of what we're going to be talking about that Ezekiel definitely was seeing Yeshua. He was seeing a physical form of God, so he had to be seeing Yeshua. But as far as what surrounds Yeshua and what surrounds God in heaven, his glory, no one has been given a vision like Ezekiel's up until this time and or after it. So the hand of the Lord was on Ezekiel there, even in this land of captivity. And I brought this up at the very beginning. You may be in a time of struggle. You might be in a place that you don't necessarily want to be. But that might be the place where God reveals himself in the most profound way that you've ever experienced in your life. And so instead of being always anxious, you know, we're always anxious many times. And I hear this if you've been in the family of God, in the body of Christ, whatever you want to call it, body of Yeshua, for any amount of time, you've heard this. God is doing a new thing. He's always doing a new thing to us, but it's not a new thing when it comes to him. But we say this, and that's kind of code word for nothing's really going on right now, but I know something's going to happen. It's our way of sometimes, not always, but it's our way many times of explaining why God's not doing more in our lives right now. Well, he's doing a new thing. And there always seems to be this, well, if we could get there, then that would be where we need to be. If we could get there, if we could do this, instead of, if I just wait on the Lord and let him do what he wants to do. See, Ezekiel wasn't sitting there going, man, I'm next to the Kavar. I want to be next to the Jordan. If I could just be next to the Jordan, I could have a really good vision from the Lord. There's people I know who they don't think they've really been baptized unless they've been baptized in the Jordan. I have been baptized in the Jordan, and I have baptized people in Jordan now. That's cool. I can actually say that. Let me tell you, it's no big deal. The Jordan is probably hardly, maybe a little bit, maybe where Heather is sitting from here to there, maybe a little further back, at least where we were, maybe a little further than that. But it's not very big. But the catfish are huge. And nobody will eat them because they're not kosher for the Muslims or for the Jews. So if you want to have good catfish, if you like catfish, you know where to go. They'll probably pay you to get those catfish out of the Jordan. Those things are huge. And there's turtles going around too. But you know what? It's what God wants to do in our hearts that matters. And God can do that anywhere. And Ezekiel understood this. He was waiting on the Lord in exile by a river that he had never, you know, maybe he'd been there for quite some time, I don't know, but a river that he didn't necessarily want to be next to. In a land he didn't want to be. I'm sure he had heard stories. If he hadn't seen it when he was younger, he had heard stories about Jerusalem, the beauty, the place that God had for his people that they were exiled from. But that did not keep Ezekiel from seeking the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as he sought God, God found in this young man a heart that was open, a heart that was going to listen, someone with a desire to please God, to do God's will and his purpose and not his own. And God said, wow, I've been waiting for this. I'm going to give you a vision that is going to be better than if you got to go back to Jerusalem right now. The vision I'm giving you is going to be way better because I'm telling you what it's going to be when I am ruling and reigning. Yeshua, told Ezekiel what it was going to be like when he is going to be ruling and reigning, not only just over Israel, but over the whole earth. What an incredible, incredible opportunity. What an incredible blessing and gift Ezekiel, this young priest, was given. You know, he's also in the line of Yeshua. Definitely in the line of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a Cohen who qualified to be a high priest on both sides of his family. So this passion, this vision is given to this young man who is just seeking God. That's it. There wasn't anything more special about Ezekiel other than he was saying, I'm going to follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to seek after God. And we see, and with this I'll close, I love the way the Lord phrases it here, Ezekiel 2:6, we're going to be getting back to that a little bit later. But in the calling, many times, other people aren't going to understand what God is doing in our lives. When you are called, when you are waiting on the Lord, and the Lord begins to reveal himself to you, sometimes other people won't understand that. But that's not what's important. What's important is, are you really listening to the Lord? Now, it will be confirmed by other believers. I'm not saying that we don't listen to other believers at all, because it will be confirmed. But you don't base your life and what you're doing, whether you're going to do this or not do this, based on what everybody else says. Because sometimes people are going to look at it and go, that's crazy. You're talking out of fear. Or vice versa. They're talking out of fear. You can't go do that. What are you thinking? You couldn't have seen that. The Lord couldn't have done that in your life. They don't know. And so what the Lord is telling Ezekiel here, what does he say? As for you, human being, Ezekiel 2:6, don't be afraid of them, are their words. Even if briars and thorns surround you and you sit among scorpions, don't be afraid of their words or be upset by their looks, for they are a rebellious house. In Ezekiel's case, he was in exile, but it wasn't so much the Babylonians that were the problem. It was the Israelites. It was the tribe of Judah that he was in exile with. It was the Judeans. They were a rebellious house. They didn't like the words that he was speaking. They didn't like what he had to say. They didn't believe he could hear from God. Not only were they rebellious, but they were angry, probably angry at God because they had been taken away captive, even though they had been worshiping other gods. Notice no one, have you ever noticed this? Think of a false god. I don't know, that's still around today. You're going to have to say the name or something. But nobody ever says or gets angry or mad or angry at those false gods. Have you ever noticed that? Just think about that for just a second. They get angry at the God. Inside us, written into our DNA, we know there's a God. An atheist even will start cursing God when something bad happens. And I'm like, you're an atheist. You shouldn't even be talking to God. Oh, yeah. But you understand. And so here you have Israel. They're in exile, and they're angry. They're mad. Even though they've been worshiping other gods, they're mad at the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God says, they're a rebellious people. You say what I tell you to say. You speak what I tell you to speak. You don't worry about their faces. You don't worry about their looks. You don't worry about what they have to say. Just be faithful to me, and I will bring you through. I will show you. I will teach you. You will speak my words, and we are still reading the words that Ezekiel spoke today. We're not reading the words that some of those other exiles spoke. We have no clue what they may have thought. Their works perished. Maybe not some of them, like Daniel, but most of them, their works perished with them. But Ezekiel's things that God has shared with them go on today. It's still affecting our lives today. So, Lord, I pray we will be faithful. We will be faithful to the calling that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, that exile does not keep you away. That, Lord, although we may not be where we want to be or where we think you want us to be even, we can still be in your presence. We can still receive from you everything that you want to give us. We can receive visions. We can receive power. We can receive direction and leading. Your hand can be upon us, even in a place of exile. Lord, help us to be content in the place where we are. And the only way we can be content where we are is if we are in your presence, if we are with you. So help us to seek you. And in seeking you, we will find everything else that we desire. We won't need to go to another place because we will have you. Lord, I thank you for the example of Ezekiel seeking you and the way you answered and the way you called him. And Lord, I pray that for each one of us. Lord, no matter what our age, whether it's young, in between, or whether we're asking every day if it's time to come home yet or not, whatever our age is, Lord, help us to stop being anxious, to stop seeking to be somewhere else, and to seek you. Because, Lord, if you show up by the River Kavar, that's where I want to be. I want to be wherever you are. Not where I think I should be, but where you are, Lord. Let that be our heart. Let that be our passion. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen.
Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar HaShalom. In the name of Yeshua our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Remember, we are having the potluck and kind of a going away fellowship for Kai. Everybody, please stay and have food. Pastor Mike is saying from the back there. So.